Could the writer's strike foreshadow more workplace AI battles ahead? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Disruptive technology is at the heart of the contentious negotiations between Hollywood writers and studios, which led to a strike. At issue, how writers get paid for streaming content, and the role of artificial intelligence in the creative process. The Writers Guild of America has pushed for guardrails on the use of new AI tools like ChatGPT, which are trained on vast amounts of human-made creative work and could, some fear, end up replacing it. It's a concern that is popping up more and more across a number of different industries as the implications of this technology come into focus. And the union's efforts to contain its harms echo past labor struggles with new technology, says Virginia Dolgast. She's a professor at Cornell's School of Industrial and Labor Relations.
There are a lot of examples historically of how workers have responded to new technologies. You could go back to the classic Luddites, English textile workers in the 19th century who destroyed textile machinery because factory owners were basically using machines to cut wages and replace skilled artisans. You have a lot of examples of robots being introduced in the auto industry or in manufacturing. You had the longshore industry being heavily mechanized. Thinking about the call center environment, you've already seen a lot of use of AI as well as, you know, broader trends of digitalization.
Tell me about some of the ways that disruptive technology like this can affect jobs.
So I tend to break down these effects into labor replacing bucket, a labor controlling bucket, and a labor displacing bucket. So labor replacing effects are where companies are using AI to automate tasks. Labor controlling are where companies are applying analytics and algorithms to manage or direct workers. And this is often described as algorithmic management. And then the third kind of AI effect is labor displacing, which means that companies find it easier to relocate jobs using this combination of AI-based management tools, cloud computing, and faster data speeds.
And how can unions respond to some of those challenges?
So how unions and their members respond to technologies really depends on how much say they have and how technologies are used in their workplaces. They tend to resist new technology when it's either likely to lead to job cuts or to make jobs worse. And they'll cooperate, on the other hand, where they can negotiate good contracts. The Writers Guild strike is a really interesting example of conflict over how new technology will be used and who will benefit. It's also a good example of how important unions are in fighting for worker voice in these decisions. And this is really a classic case of control over work, right? Whether this new technology is used to de-skill, make work more precarious, and then questions about how you share productivity gains and profits.
Do writers here sort of look like the canary in the coal mine?
Yes. No, I mean, I think there are specific issues coming out of this conflict, which you can kind of see echoes of in other creative parts of industries. So I've been doing some interviews on the use of AI in game development, and you see similar issues. So because these image generation tools can do 3D modeling, and they're early examples of games that use AI-generated art. So artists are feeling threatened. These are, you know, the more high-skilled creative workers. And in a sense, the kinds of issues they're facing are similar to the writers because the large-scale neural networks that are used to generate these images, they're trained on huge numbers of images scraped from the web. And of course, those images are originally created by the artists themselves, right? So the question of who owns these images, is this copyright infringement? It's when it's a black box on how images are being used to produce AI-generated art is kind of an open question and something that's being fought over in places where there are and where there aren't unions.
What would it look like to incorporate new technologies in the workplace in a way that protects workers or shares the benefits with workers?
Having some process in place where you have dialogue or you have workers really being consulted over technology before it's adopted, it can be really useful in convincing managers not to just buy every shiny new toy and to really think through how these tools might really affect performance, change the work, how can they be used more productively, what kind of changes and skills need to be made. So I talked to a works counselor from an IT firm based in Germany who was saying, you know, we have to constantly educate our managers. Our engineers are actually more productive when they don't have to log into the company's monitoring system, when they're not recorded all day long while they're doing their jobs. And, you know, the works council gathered data, their engineers, they presented that data and said, you know, look, in Germany, we're actually more productive without the invasive AI-based monitoring system. But, you know, this kind of idea often runs counter to the intuition of managers who are hungry for more data, more control, or, you know, in the case of the writer strike, they want to have more future potential control in the future over how they might use this new technology. I think in the longer run, it's really an advantage to companies themselves or, you know, to the studios to have to step back and really think about how those technologies fit in with their broader strategies, what kinds of changes and skills or work design might be needed, and then to bring their workforce along with them, who really feel like they're valued partners and feel like they can have some say and some control over those choices.
Virginia Dolgast at Cornell University. We've got more on the history of organized labor and disruptive new technology at our website, marketplacetech.org. Last year, when automation became a sticking point in West Coast port negotiations, I looked into how the dock workers have approached previous innovations, like the steel shipping container. I know, compared to screenwriting AIs, they sound pretty prosaic, but standardized shipping containers that could be moved by cranes were a disruptive innovation when they were introduced in the 1950s. They made moving goods a whole lot faster and safer, but also less reliant on the labor of dock workers. The powerful port union was able to get promises that no existing workers would be fired, and they'd be first in line for training to operate new machinery. But, of course, most workers in the U.S. don't have the leverage of holding up imports to the country, and especially among the white-collar workforce whose jobs could be particularly affected by these new AI tools, unions are pretty rare. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.